In my lesson yesterday, I told you some of the reasons why I cast my lot with the Spirit-filled believers that's in the world today. I fellowship with them. I feel at home with them. We have a lot in common. We speak the same language. We speak the language of the book, all of the book, the whole book. God told us by the hand of Paul that all Scripture was good for doctrine. So when you begin to establish a doctrine, a truth in which you believe, I believe you should incorporate all of the Scriptures that's involved with that subject, whether it be salvation, justification, sanctification, or redemption by the blood of Christ. I believe you should incorporate all of the Scriptures and in their proper context in order to have a true doctrine, a true message of what God would have for us. You may ask me, why did you join this particular group of believers? The doctrines that you believe, is that the doctrines that your father taught? Not at all, my friend. My daddy's doctrine, you could sum it up in two phrases. One was, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. In fact, I even believe the cover, which says, Holy Bible. And the other phrase was, is holiness or hell? That was my daddy's go-to phrase, is holiness or hell? And you can find out about this in the Bible. It is holiness or hell. Spirit-filled believers did not just begin 100 years ago. Spirit-filled believers and the holiness movement emerged in the first century. It was among those radical believers of Jesus Christ, which were energized by the Holy Spirit. I use that word radical. It was among the radical believers in Jesus Christ. I believe the word radical describes them pretty much. The word radical means growing from the base of a stem. They grew from Jesus Christ, the stem of Jesse. And not only that, radical means very different from the usual or the traditional. Those believers did indeed walk away from the usual traditions. They embraced a new tradition. Not only that, the definition of radical means favoring extreme change in existing views, habits, conditions. They were indeed in favor of and embraced extreme changes in the existing views of their friends, their neighbors. You know, when Paul got saved, there was an extreme change of views between him and his traditional friends. I also found some synonyms for the word radical. I'll give you just a few. Extreme, fanatical, revolutionary, revolutionist, and some would even say crazy. I also want to give you some antonyms of the word radical. One of them is the middle of the road or the middle of the rotor. These disciples of Christ in the early church would never have been called a middle of the rotor. No, sir. They traveled straight down the middle of God's gospel. They followed it to the letter. They were not a middle of the rotor. Another antonym for radical, non-revolutionary. unrevolutionary, moderate. That's the word that most people use today as opposed to the radicals. They're not radical, revolutionary. They are moderate. They travel down the middle of the road. They do not make waves. They do not embrace an extreme change of views. They do not embrace an extreme changes in behavior. They are what you would call a middle of the roader. My dad believed everything in the book. I never thought he was crazy, extreme, or revolutionary, but others did. Our neighbors thought he was strange. He went to church 3 times a week. How strange is that? He never sat around on Sunday night and watched television. He never spent his Wednesday afternoons playing golf till dark. No, come Wednesday night, you would find him sitting in church, praising and worshiping God. My daddy taught me a lot of things, but he did not teach me everything that the Holy Spirit has taught me. And when I got saved, I said to myself, "Self, which congregation will you unite yourself with?" I knew where my father went to church, but I told my daddy, I said, "Dad, I'm not going to attend the church that you go to just because you attend there. I want to go to a church because I believe that it is teaching the Word of God." I had gone to school with people of many different organizations. In fact, when I was a teenager, I went to the Baptist Church. I was a member of the Royal Rangers of the First Baptist Church. I listened to their preacher preach. I listened to their teachers teach. I had worked with people from many various fellowships, and I listened to them all. I listened to the Baptists, the Methodists. I have studied with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I have studied with the Mormons. I have studied with the Presbyterians. I have even studied with those from the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ was organized in 1811 by a man named Thomas Campbell. They would come to the house and have Bible study with me. I listened to their preacher preach. I listened to their teachers teach. But when I compared it with what the Bible says, I found several discrepancies. I realized that they could add nothing to what the Bible had already told me. You know, I've discovered that if you will read the Bible, all of it, every word of it, more than one time, you will see things the way God wanted you to see them. And when you read that book, if you will let the Holy Spirit guide, direct, and teach you, you will know exactly what God has in mind for you. No one could be a substitute teacher for the Holy Ghost. Paul said, "All of it's good for doctrine." And I say again, there is no substitute teacher for the Holy Ghost.